can have a couple people help me with the communion. The Bible tells us to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And somehow the church has taken that verse and somehow decided they'd stick their hand in the sand and hide from the devil. Here's the thing. Be innocent as doves. You know, you're not going out there doing crazy, stupid stuff that you're not supposed to be doing, but be wise as serpents. You got to understand that there is really an enemy out there, and that he wants to inflict harm upon you. But we have El Shaddai on our side. He'll be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us. With a long life will he show us his salvation. He gave us a lot of tools to use, and we need to use them. And I'm getting ready to make some emergency kits of communion. I'm going to order the books and get the wafers so everybody can take the communion stuff home. I'm going to encourage you to maybe start taking this daily. With these books, it'll explain to you how to do that at home daily. Who's ready for the next plague? Do you even know there's another plague on the way? They've already got the vaccines ordered. The devil tells us what he's going to do ahead of time. Do not take this next vaccine. Run to God, and I'm going to get these made. We're going to take the communion. You're going to be okay. You will win. He gave us this for our healing. He knows that there's plagues. There's sicknesses all over. The devil comes up with a new one every time we turn around. But he gave us this so that we can have healing in our bodies. And actually, you can actually get immunity. But he did say to discern the body of Christ. And this is the most important thing, is to specifically break down the different things that happened to Jesus in his passion and on that cross. So when we look at this bread, we need to first understand that this is made without yeast. And that's important because yeast is significant of sin. And we know that Jesus' body is and was completely 100% without sin. He never made a mistake, not one time. And then they took his perfect sinless body and they beat him. The Bible tells us that he was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. See, our transgressions are sins that we committed that we knew they were sins when we did it. Our iniquities are sins that we committed we didn't know they were sins. So he covered us both ways. And then you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. See, Jesus was taken to be scourged, and they whipped him. And they put these stripes on his back, and it's by his stripes that we were healed. The Bible specifically said 39 stripes. And somehow these doctors have figured out that there's 39 root diseases. How about that? Also, Jesus' body was pierced. Not only when that Roman soldier thrust a sword in his side, but he got his body pierced when he got a crown of thorns. He got his body pierced when he got nails in his hands. His body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. I want you to know this, that everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And every time he shed blood, we got redemption in some area. I know I've told you this before, but I'm going to remind you. If you ever get a chance to go to a Catholic church, go there and on purpose, go to the wall. On the walls, they have the Stations of the Cross. Right? They have the Stations of the Cross. There used to just be 7 of them. I think now they got 14. But you go there and it talks about everywhere Jesus shed his blood. And there's a prayer there. You go there and you look at these different places where Jesus shed his blood. And it talks about different redemption that you get from the shedding of that blood. It's very important to understand that. It's very important to understand what you got from his shed blood. Also, you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. When Jesus was on that cross, God laid the whole sins of the world on him. Every sickness and every disease, every part of the curse was laid on Jesus. And he took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. That judgment that was meant for us, he took it upon himself. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. That's a good trade, isn't it? It's called grace. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The shed blood of Jesus is so pure. And because it had no sin in it, it never died. You got to realize the blood of Jesus is still alive. And it's still doing what God sent it to do when he put Jesus on that cross. It's still washing away our sins. It's still protecting us. It still gives us, because of the blood of Jesus, now we have the boldness to enter into his throne and into his throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. No man had that until Jesus came here and covered us with his blood. Now it's because of that blood, everything that was wrong between us and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Psalms chapter 91. And this is a particular prayer, and I'm going to show you how to personalize this prayer. Make it your own so you can say it over yourself, over your families, over whoever you may want to say it over. Like I said, we're in perilous times. And one thing about the devil is he sensationalizes something. You know, he'll use the TV, you know, he'll come up with some kind of sickness. And their next one, I guess they're promoting the bird flu. And they've already got the vaccines ready. It's flu. But they're promoting that. And so the devil knows that he has to sensationalize it and make everybody afraid. So he's going to advertise this a lot to try to get people worried about it. You're not to be afraid of it. You've already been delivered from that. You've been redeemed from that. There are some things that God gave us to help us along with this process. And it'd be a good idea for us to pick these tools up. One of them is the communion. You know, another one that you can do, and you should do this often, is just plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. If you don't know anything else, just plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. One pastor, he was a teacher, and one of his little girls in his class didn't show up, and God impressed him to pray for her, so he pled the blood of Jesus over this little girl. And evidently she had gotten kidnapped by a notorious serial killer, the Satan worshiper, and he took this little girl to his altar and he was going to sacrifice this little girl, and he couldn't do it. And evidently this deity that he was worshiping didn't want that little girl, so he turned that little girl got out of there without any harm. Why? Because somebody pled the blood of Jesus over her. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this world. There is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that can stand up to the blood of Jesus. You should plead the blood of Jesus. And in fact, even when you go to your prayer room to pray, it would be a good thing to just say, Father, I'm here because of the blood of Jesus. You realize that is the only thing that qualifies you to go into God's presence? The blood of Jesus? There's never anything that we can do to qualify us for answered prayers on our own. It's only the blood of Jesus. It's all about Him. See, that's how we make Him our dwelling place. That's how we make Him our secret place. That's how we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And we run to Him as our everything. Did you know He is your everything, and your very next breath really does rely on Him? See, this is how we worship God. Worship is not singing. That's praise. Worship is getting alone with God and saying, God, my Father, You are my Creator. I need Your protection. I ask You to protect me. You are the only one that can keep me alive. You are the only one that can keep me healthy. You are the only one that can take care of me. You are the only one that can have any good, positive influence in my life. And You are the only one that knows what is right for me. Father, I ask You in the name of Jesus to take care of me. Cause me to be in the right place at the right time. See, that takes it into a personal point in time for you where you're having a fellowship with God, not only in prayer, but in worship. Where you're totally dependent on Him. And none of your activities can you put forth as a brownie point. It's only Him. When it's all about Him, when He is the only one that can see you through, now we're into worship. It's a special place in prayer. And Psalm 91 is a good place to start. Now I'm going to pray this psalm personally, just so you can see how you can do that. And then we'll go through it and break it down a little bit. Because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I am not afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon lions and adders, young lions and dragons shall I trample underfoot. Because I have set my love upon the Lord, therefore will He deliver me. He will set me on high because I have known His name. I shall call upon the Lord, He will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me. With long life will He satisfy me and show me His salvation. See, that's how we make that prayer personal to us. That's how we say it on purpose. You know, one thing God did, and it's a really interesting thing, is He made these angels to be servants of the heirs of salvation. Have you ever wondered about that? We're the heirs of salvation. So we have all these angels, not just one bare-butted little baby that you see on a Christmas card. Big, warring angels on our side to protect us, to cause things to happen for us. Here's the thing. The Bible tells us that angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. Now you would think, talking to people, the angels hearken unto the voice of God, and they do, no doubt. But the Bible tells us that they hearken unto the voice of His word. Now that changes things. That doesn't mean God has to say it. That lets us know that when we say something, that gives angels something to do. See, we have all these angels that have been sent here to help us, and we keep them on the bench because we don't say something. Well, and when we do, a lot of times we don't say what God says. Did you notice you're going to say something anyway? People are always talking. You just as well say what God says about you. Here's what happens. When you say what God says about you, when you put His word into the atmosphere, them angels have to get up off the bench and get busy. You just gave them a commission. But they hearken only to the voice of His word. So we got to take God's word and put it into the atmosphere. Give them something to work with. And then they will. And it's a glorious thing. Some people have even seen angels. God has blessed some people, you know, where He's actually slowed time up a little bit where they could actually see into the spirit. They could see angels. You know, Glenn Smith talked about angels that, you know, he, for a long time, he'd just pray over his place before he left to go out in the mission field. He left his house one day and he seen somebody sitting on his, there was an angel sitting on his fence. That was the angel. So he named him Buck. Buck the angel. Now, the angel that guarded over his place while he was out preaching at rodeo. There's been a lot of people that have seen angels. A lot of people that have seen angels that just look like people. You know, the Bible tells us that sometimes entertain angels unaware. You know, sometimes they can look like just a people, and maybe they have a special message for you. But what you see in the spirit isn't necessarily what somebody else sees in the spirit. So you may see an innocent old man. Somebody else may see a big warring angel. But God still sends these angels to us, to minister to us, to help us. But we have to do something. We have to use our mouth to get God's word out into the atmosphere. And Psalm 91 is an excellent way to get that word out there and cause his angels to have something to do. There's many times that you avoided calamity and you didn't even know it. You really don't know all the things that God has protected you from. You're still alive, aren't you? And he's a pretty good protector in spite of us. Now, if we would just cooperate with him a little bit, we'd really see a lot more of his protection and blessings. Now let's get up here to this first verse in Psalm 91. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." That word, down, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That word Almighty is really Shaddai. And it appears a lot in the Bible. It was a name by which God was known to the patriarchs. Some people say that it meant mighty, unconquerable, even a mountain. And God is big. He's so much bigger than we are. He's so able to protect us and shelter us and defend us. We have to call on his protection, though. There are times that we've been protected when we didn't call on it. And maybe, you know, maybe your little old grandma was somewhere praying for you. Maybe there was an intercessor somewhere in Africa praying for you. We don't know how many people we have praying for us. We really don't. Sometimes God will impress somebody to pray in the Spirit, and they won't know exactly why they're praying. And then somebody halfway around the world will say, "You know, I almost got ran over, and for some reason, I got taken out of the way. I don't know how I got out of the way." Well, that reason is there was some person that laid down their life long enough to intercede for you in the Spirit. They didn't know who they were praying for or why. They just knew that God told them to, so they did. See, this is why it's important. God may tell you to just stop what you're doing and pray in the Spirit. You don't have to know why. Did you know you don't have to know everything? We don't have to know everything. In fact, we know very little about what's going on in the whole world. We know very little. And we really don't have to know a whole bunch. We do have to know the Lord our God, the Good Shepherd. We do have to know how to cause his protection to fall upon us. See, his word, he has all kinds of different things that we can do to cause his protection to fall upon us. In the name of Jesus. I know somebody, they were in the process of having a terrible car crash, and they just screamed Jesus. They just said, Jesus! And somehow that thing just straightened out. I've known people that were in the process of having a terrible plane crash, and they said, Jesus! Things worked out. The name of Jesus is a very, very strong, powerful weapon for our protection. We can plead the blood of Jesus. And certainly, Psalm 91 is a great way to invoke His protection. God wants us to run to Him. Remember, the Bible calls Him Abba Father. That means Daddy, Daddy. A lot of times people don't want to show their weakness. Did you know you're not very strong before God anyway? So you need to shed your pride and just say, Daddy, help me. Help me. Help me. You know, there was a woman that went to Jesus and was trying to get Him to pray for her. And He said, well, it's not good to give the children's food to the dogs. And she said, yeah, but even a puppy can eat of the crumbs. She said, help me. When you say help me, that pulls on the mercy of God. When you pull on the mercy of God, the love of God is going to flow out to you. In your darkest time, when you feel as lonely as you probably ever felt in your life, say, help me, God. You know, that's one of the best, simplest, most effective prayers that you can pray. It takes your flesh and your pride and your self-efforts out of the way. Peter started sinking into the water. He said, help me! Save me. Did you know that God is still in the saving business? And just because you got born again, that does not mean that He's done saving you. My friend, he worked for me for a while, and he was a charismatic Catholic, and we always had interesting discussions and stuff. And he's asking me some stuff, and I said, he said, you Protestants say once saved, all saved. And I said, well, you need to understand this. When you get born again, you are saved. You're going to go to heaven. You're saved. But salvation does not mean just born again. See, a lot of the world has reduced salvation to just being born again. But that word, when God started talking to Hebrews about salvation, they got a great big picture of all these things that salvation included. It means protection, deliverance. Everything that a man needs, care, whatever a man needs, healing. Are you done being healed on this earth? Better say no. Then you're not done being saved. Are you done being protected on this earth? Then you're not done being saved. Are you done being prospered on this earth? Then you're not done being saved. So when you get born again, you are saved and you are going to heaven. But you're still being saved. His salvation is something that is continual for you on this earth. And then when we leave this earth and we see Jesus face to face, He will complete our redemption and our salvation will be complete. So you are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. My friend looked at me and said, do you realize how Catholic that sounds? I said, do you realize how Christian that sounds? So we came to agreement. We came into agreement there. We're on the same page. Jesus saves us. Can we all agree to that? Jesus is our salvation. That's where we run to. That's our secret place of the Most High. That's our El Shaddai. That's our everything. That's how we hide under the cover of His feathers. That's how we run to His protection. When we say these prayers, we're calling on Him. We're looking to Him as our salvation. Look down here to verse 9. It says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. See, this is a promise of divinely protected health and divine healing. This passage promises protection from sickness as a blessing of the redeemed life. The word plague is used of something inflicted on a body, and specifically was used to refer to spots of leprosy and different diseases. Israel was known for plagues. They had plagues of locusts and plagues of diseases. You know, we're not much different. We have plagues in this country. There's all kinds of plagues that have hit this nation. And it seems like, you know, when I was a kid, they had this sleeping sickness. And that was the big thing, you know. That was, everybody was talking about sleeping sickness. And we had to get our horses shots for sleeping sicknesses. Yeah. So that, and then that just, they just kept that going perpetual. And then pretty soon, it was the West Nile. And everybody was freaked out about the West Nile. All the mosquitoes. And I lived in the heart of mosquito country. I mean, it was bad. You could not. They were plagues of mosquitoes where I grew up. And you had to start giving horses shots and all these shots. And then it was like, I thought, man, I had a lot of horses. I said, I'm not dealing with this. But then people started getting West Nile. And they were really advertising this. They were talking about it all the time, pumping it up and pumping it up. And I started learning something. I was just learning about the Word of God then, and I started learning something about the how easily people are manipulated. And I was kind of ornery, a little bit devious. And I come walking into the gas station one day, and this lady was holding her elbow, and I thought, what'd you do? She said, I don't know, it's just stiff. And I said, oh my God, I hope it's not West Nile. My boss said, well, you knock that off. Every time you say something like that, she runs to the doctor, and our insurance goes up. So that gave me some insight. Words that people listen to cause impressions upon them. Pay attention to whose words you're listening to. Remember, Jesus said, take heed to what you're listening to. I mean, pay attention to what you're listening to. Pay attention to who you're listening to. If what you're hearing is not something that is going to divinely help you, stop. You may take it as a warning, but you go listen to what God says. You know, we're within just maybe a few weeks of the whole world going into hysteria over some new disease. The devil's already got it. He's already told us what his plan is. He's already got his play in motion. They got all these vaccines ready to roll. Don't listen to the devil, listen to God. He knows more about you than anybody else. He gave us these prayers, and He gave us the communion. He gave us all these different things to protect us. And here's why. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. That's comforting. We know we can call on God, and He will answer us. And it's not yes, no, or maybe. There's no maybe in the Bible. You can't find maybe in the Bible. When it's concerning His word, it's yes and amen. Now, this very next part right here says, I will be with him in trouble. You know, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It is a Bible promise that there's trouble coming down the road. Jesus never ever said there was not going to be any trouble. He knows there's a devil out there. There's trouble. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. We have Psalm 91. We can go to the secret place of the Most High. We can plead the blood of Jesus. We can call on the name of the Lord Jesus. All that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Did you notice it said saved, not born again? But born again is part of. But this is the thing. We got to call on that name. We got to plead the blood of Jesus. Do these different things. He knows there's trouble coming our way. See, He's the good shepherd. We talked about that last Sunday. The good shepherd has a staff and a rod. The staff is to pull us out of trouble when we get out there where we shouldn't be. And the rod is to defend us from our enemies. He knows there's wolves out there. He knows there's troubles out there. He talked about the two men that built houses. One built his house on the sand. One built his house on a rock. The storm came to both houses. The one that built his house on the sand lost everything. The one that built his house on the rock stood, but the storm still came. I'm sometimes shocked at the amount of Christians that are surprised that trouble came their way. But I'm a Christian. That means you're a target. You know, Christian, Christ means the anointing. When you get His anointing on you, you're a little Christian. You're a little Christ-like, a little Christian. Did you know there's an Antichrist running around out there? Anti means he's against the anointing. That means you have an enemy out there. And his name is not Sam. Remember, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spirits. So don't go hating on somebody that doesn't believe in the anointing. Remember, there's an Antichrist out there and wants to do everything in the world to keep you from operating in that anointing. Why would he be so interested in you not operating in the anointing of God? Well, you know, Satan went through a lot of effort to get Jesus on that cross. He finally got it down, and he thought, all of my troubles are over. And Peter come walking out of the upper room, and preached his very first sermon under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and got 3,500 people born again. And now he's seen 3,500 people that look just like Jesus. Why did I say they looked just like Jesus when some of them were different tribes and nations? Because they suddenly got clothed. They got that robe of righteousness, that helmet of salvation. They got the blood of Jesus on them. And Satan cannot tell you, he cannot tell the difference between you or Jesus when he's standing right in front of you. And he has to answer to both. When you take up the name of Jesus, he has to bow his knee. In fact, the Bible tells us that every name that is named has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. That means every sickness that has a name has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Cancer has a name. It has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Every disease that has a name has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. See, God did a mighty, mighty work in you. And he turned you into a very powerful spiritual human being. And he loaded you up with all these weapons. And most people won't even pull the trigger. And then some people say, well, what if I miss? What if I don't do it right? No, here's the thing my pastor used to tell me. He said, don't worry, just pull the trigger. God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. All you got to do is pull the trigger and throw it out there. God will make it work. Jesus, our high priest, who makes our prayers perfect when we use the name of Jesus, he fixes our prayers. He helps with our infirmities. The Holy Spirit helps with our weaknesses. We don't have to be nervous. All we got to do is just pull the trigger. And this is one of the big bombs right here. This is like Psalm 91 is like an atomic bomb in the spirit of darkness. You just lamb blasted him. He can't stand that. And in fact, he knew how dangerous this was. Satan took a couple of verses out of this psalm and misquoted them to Jesus to try to get him to act irresponsibly. And Jesus didn't do it. He just hit him with some more word. He said, it is written. You want to really irritate the devil and really hurt him? You just say, it is written. Because now you sound just exactly like Jesus. You just copied him. Well, it'd be a good thing to copycat Jesus. Did you know that Jesus copied God? He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. He was a copycat. If Jesus had to copy somebody, we need to copy somebody. I would suggest copycatting Jesus. Paul, he said, just do what I do. I would copycat Jesus. He had it going on, don't you think? He still does. He still knows how to get it done. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the broken body of our Lord. Father, we thank you that every time we sit in fellowship with you and your word, it makes us stronger in spirit, causes faith to happen in our hearts. Father, we ask you to show us how to be led by your Holy Spirit each day. Father, show us how to rightfully discern your word, rightfully divide your word of truth, so that we can be workers who need not be ashamed, but we're full grown, and we know how to operate in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.